You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the last few months, concerns have been raised over the hosting of the 2026 FIFA World Cup in the United States, particularly concerns over human rights in the country, visa worries, and accusations of sports washing have been increasingly levied towards the country. The relative lack of coverage of these concerns, comparatively to concerns over the previous tournament in Qatar or those in the future in countries like Saudi Arabia, complicate the history that football and FIFA have with questionable regimes and funding. Despite the Trump administration's policies that seem to threaten the tournament, there continues to be a lack of noise around whether or not the three host countries should be reduced to two, removing the US. I spoke to doctoral candidate at the University of Auckland, Luke Bird, about the sports washing, its background, and why the US and countries like Qatar are treated differently. Amnesty International have expressed serious concerns over the state of human rights in the US for the tournament. What specifically are we seeing?
I think rightly people have concerns around what's going on in the US, particularly around anti-immigration, anti-democracy rhetoric. It seems like the US is moving towards more kind of authoritarian thinking in its policy, things around, you know, the deportation of long-settled migrants, lawful residents, and even US citizens. You know, we've seen so many ICE raids. Trump has either deployed or threatened to deploy the National Guard in often democratic cities, and then we're also seeing concerns around the press being silenced, public service broadcasting being defunded, the same with academic institutions, even comedians recently. So I think rightly in the US, press is a concern that the country is slowly sliding towards authoritarianism.
The tournament itself has been highlighted as an example of sports washing. What is sports washing and how does it work to rehabilitate the image of Trump or the US administration?
Yeah, it's an interesting one with sports washing. Typically, it describes the practices of states using close associations to sport, usually through hosting events or sponsoring teams, acquiring prominent clubs or teams. And the thinking goes that these kind of repeated close associations to sport serve to legitimize the investing state or distract from domestic issues, normally human rights abuses. There's very little empirical evidence yet to suggest that this does happen. And, you know, sport has been used by Western, non-Western, liberal and illiberal states for a long time as a tool of political persuasion dating back right to ancient Greece. In terms of the American example, it's really interesting because most sports washing criticism has been leveled at authoritarian states in the Persian Gulf. So you think about Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the UAE. And a lot of the criticism centers around its undemocratic nature of these states or the authoritarianism or the widespread human rights abuses. Now, given that this is appearing to happen in the US, Western liberal democracy, it'd be interesting to see whether the sports washing criticism is the same for a Western liberal democracy as it has been in recent years for more authoritarian regimes in the Persian Gulf.
I mean, you've mentioned it there, but have we seen any similarities, or do you think we will see similarities in that criticism, or are we going to continue to see a discrepancy?
Oh, it's a really good question that I'm really, really curious to find out when the event happens. It's also important to stress here, actually, that sports washing criticism has largely emanated from the West at states in the global South or non-Western, however you prefer to call them. And so there's this kind of, it has this ideological or moral lens to it. There's lots of normative language used, you know, stating basically what shouldn't and should be done as it relates to sport. I don't know yet whether sports washing discourse will be the same for the US, although I imagine it will be higher than, for example, London 2012, given that it's more accepted as terminology in sports journalism at the moment. But my expectation is that given that it's a Western liberal democracy, I think sports washing accusations will be far less than, for example, Qatar 2022.
In September, The Athletic reported that FIFA had received 145 reports of human rights concerns at the just-gone Club World Cup in the US. How does this kind of ground the US and, in particular, hosting of these tournaments in these human rights abuses?
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting question. And I think the Club World Cup was another example where Trump, became the centre of the spectacle, as it were. And, you know, we've seen it this year at the US Open, the Ryder Cup, the Super Bowl. During the Daytona NASCAR race, he flew Air Force One around the circuit and then did a tour of the circuit in the presidential limo. So we know that Trump's going to become front and centre of anything related to spectacle in the US. He's quite masterful at stealing the headlines. Insofar as the World Cup is concerned, I think similarly to what people have talked about for the 2002 Salt Lake City Winter Olympics, I think the US will try to position its essentially peacock its security and wealth credentials. I think the event will be used to stoke nationalism, as it has been done at lots of other sports mega events. I think we'll see a lot of self-celebrating or self-aggrandizement from Trump and the US government. How they deflect from or distract from domestic social problems and the human rights abuses discussed, really difficult to tell at this stage. And that there's, as I say, very little empirical evidence to suggest that heavy investment in these sports events can distract from these types of moral violations.
Reportedly, the US State Department has denied the Iranian delegation visas for the World Cup draw in December. Is this a sort of bleed of authoritarian policy maybe into the tournament that we might continue to see?
Yeah, I definitely think that's something to watch out for. Was it earlier this year, the US government implemented its travel ban on, I think it was 40 countries at the time, and immediately questions were raised about the fact that they're hosting the World Cup and then the 2028 Olympics in LA 2 years later. And you know, for example, at the Paris Olympics last year, there were delegates from every single country on the travel ban list. There have been exemptions made for players, staff and families to attend these events, but not for fans. So there's going to be huge visa issues around both events for fans wanting to attend. So, for example, I believe it's Colombia at the moment has a 2-year wait list for visas. This is the same with Turkey. Now, given that Colombia only recently qualified, it's less than 2 years away, so it seems almost impossible for these fans to be able to attend. I think when you also factor in that the event held over three different countries, the visa complications are going to be absolutely massive. I think if your team are to qualify into Group K, for example, you will have group stage games in the US and then Mexico and then back in the US. And if you qualify for the knockouts, you then have to travel to Canada and back. So some of these have less than 3 or 4 days notice for being able to apply for a visa. So it seems like there's going to be massive complications. And as yet, how this is all going to be resolved in the US is unclear.
A lot of criticism towards sports washing and just general corruption in sports does get levied towards FIFA. What role do FIFA play in enabling the sports washing, especially in the case of the FIFA World Cup with both Qatar and now the US?
I think when people first started talking about sports washing, it was largely a criticism of the investing state. And then over a few years, people came to realise that, okay, hang about. You know, these states aren't making these investments in a vacuum. There's got to be an element of, it's got to be a kind of two-way street, as it were. So FIFA has been actively looking for investment from authoritarian states for years, dating back to, you know, Mussolini and I think it was the 1928 World Cup through to Argentina in 1978. And more recently, you know, some of the biggest sponsors are brands owned by authoritarian regimes, Saudi Aramco, Qatar Airways, etc. Most of its Club World Cup hosts in recent years have been authoritarian states accused of sports washing, you know, the UAE, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, etc. Many of its host events for its kind of flagship men's tournaments, the World Cup, and the FIFA Club World Cup in recent years have been hosted by states accused of sports washing. And critics, scholars, largely say that this is a kind of bi-directional relationship between the investing state and a sporting body like FIFA, who are essentially facilitating and enabling the process of sports washing. And this kind of relationship serves to legitimise the investing state.
And with that said, are we likely to see anything from FIFA in terms of these concerns about the US hosting the tournament?
I think FIFA like to talk a lot about big picture stuff, you know, peace, diplomacy, how football is a force for good around the world. When it comes to actually implementing their own statutes, they seem far more spineless. Interestingly, the 2026 World Cup next year, I think after the controversy surrounding Qatar and Russia, next year's World Cup is the first to incorporate human rights standards in its bidding process. So FIFA's framework includes commitment to support at-risk groups. So I think they state women, ethnic minorities, disabled people, immigrants, refugees and asylum seekers, migrant workers, LGBTQI plus people, and interestingly, journalists. And it's for anyone that follows the news, know that Trump has demonized lots of these different groups. So where FIFA stands on it during the tournament is going to be really, really interesting, because they like to present themselves as high and mighty around these things, but they rarely actually follow through on their own commitments and statutes. Yeah, I think what's going to be really, really interesting in the US over the next two sports mega events is that they're both designated as national special security events, so NSSEs. So events of huge international significance. Usually these are only kind of military parades, sports mega events in the US. And here the US Secret Service leads the planning and security measures. So this triggers involvement from federal agencies, and that includes Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. So LA 2028, its NSSE has already been in place since last year, meaning that ICE will already be having some role in security and policing the event in LA way before it actually happens. And given that LA is one of the cities in the US with the highest number of migrants, I think it's going to be, yeah, pretty worrying to see ICE policing and implementing security measures for that. Something this kind of, I think there are genuine concerns about unlawful imprisonment, deportations, the kind of forced displacement of communities, including unhoused people in LA. I think these are genuine concerns that news media should be following closely and reporting on, definitely.
That was the University of Auckland's Luke Bird on sports washing at the 2026 FIFA World Cup and what it means for the US.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.